Welcome back to another Draft Prospect Review podcast with Paul Perullo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. Today is Tuesday, March 27th, and they're breaking down the running back position for the upcoming draft.
Thanks, Lori. Running back on tap for today. What are you laughing at? We haven't even started. You're already in full gig.
Here it looks like it's about to give way with all the immense weight on top of it.
Well, that's a good 4 pounds.
That's a good reason to giggle. But before we get into Tom's chair and whether or not it's going to hold out through this podcast, let's take a look at running backs and some potential Patriot running backs in particular. Now, more than likely, not a top of the draft position for the Patriots, seeing as they took Lawrence Maroney in the first round last year. Be very unlikely for them to go back-to-back years first-round running back. However,
so recent reports of shoulder surgery and injuries do not change draft day?
Well, let me throw it out there to the esteemed panel, Andy Hart and Tom Casale. Does that shoulder surgery for Maroney affect the draft for the Patriots?
I don't think so. I just actually came back from speaking with a source about Lawrence Maroney, and he said nothing wrong with it. He'll be ready to go, no problem.
They had surgery even though there was nothing wrong with it?
Oh, it was just, he said it happened 2 months ago.
No, is Dr. Arthur Pappas on the...
the corrective surgery that they were talking about, it's not a big deal. So my point is, if they want to draft a running back, maybe they do, but I don't think Maroney's shoulder is going to have anything to do with it.
I agree with you, and I also, because of the way they handled the offseason, where they let Corey Dillon go, and then they signed a true backup kind of guy where, yeah, he can come in for six carries a game, but you don't want him playing six straight games as the guy. And I think had they had greater concerns about Maroney, you would have seen them pursue Chris Brown or a guy who's been a starting level running back in the NFL. But the other thing is, I don't think the shoulder injury is the concern. The concern is that he had three injuries over the course of a rookie season in which he split carries.
Right.
So now you're doubling his load, and you already had three injuries to worry about. Do you have the concerns that he's just not durable enough or that his style doesn't meld with what you need him to do?
And as we've been talking about upstairs, he's never done it alone in college. Now,
right.
First of all, the college year is shorter. Second of all, he's always had that other guy. Even when Russell was there, he took more of a lead role than he did when Barber was there. But Russell still had, it 180 carries?
180 carries, 18 touchdowns.
Yeah, so Maroney's never carried the ball inside the five for some reason, which is an interesting thing to look at, I think.
And I think it gives us an opportunity here. First of all, at the top of the draft is really Adrian Peterson in terms of running backs.
I like him.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
You know, he had a pretty impressive tape.
Tom says he likes Adrian Peterson, so that puts him with about 99% of the rest
Paul,
of the country.
Are you quoted on his fan website? I don't think so. I think that Cleveland should take him at number three, even though they made the deal with Jamal Lewis. That's a one-year thing for
me. Right, and so. I think that that's what's going to happen. We've already started our writer's mock draft. That's going to be in the paper next week. Let the cat out of the bag there. Cleveland at number three took Adrian Peterson. But beyond him, there really aren't any certifiable locks, I don't think, for the first round.
Lynch is next.
No,
he's next in line, but he's a drop-off.
Yeah, I think there's a discernible drop-off there.
Probably going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, and he's a guy, though, that some are thinking might slip. I agree with you. I think he goes in the first, but where in the first is the question.
Later in the first.
And then that starts, then you get that whole, there's just a whole group of guys after that.
Right, and I wanted to get to that whole group of guys and kind of get to this topic that you guys brought up. I think it's probably reasonable that they're going to look for a more dependable young backup, you know, because Sammy Morris is probably a short-term fix for the backup spot. So who among this, you know, do you look for a Kevin Faulk replacement?
Well, I think that's the
as a third down back, or do you look at...
There's two kinds that you could go in that direction, and it's two very different players. I mean, they're specific.
Absolutely. It's the same position, but a different position.
Right. It's hard to find a guy that's going to fill all those roles. It's are you going for the next Kevin Faulk?
Right.
And a guy, Tom makes fun of me, but Lorenzo Booker, I fell in love with watching his tape. I think he would be tremendous in that type of role. Maybe could give you some backup carries, a little bit more than Kevin Faulk, but still is a third down change of pace, but certainly physically as impressive as almost any running back with what he can do with the ball in his hands in terms of speed, cutting, making moves on the run, everything.
And maybe he becomes a Tiki Barber where he starts off in that role,
right.
Then he gets an opportunity a couple of years down the road.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen all the run. I've only seen, I'm just looking at my note, I've seen five of the running backs so far, and by far and away, he was the best open field runner that I saw.
Tremendous.
You know, when you got him in space, he was a dangerous, dangerous guy. And we talk a lot about that with those third down backs. Kevin Faulk, when he came in, screens, draws, direct snaps. You get him out in space, you can make some plays. Well, this guy was legitimately dangerous when the few times that Florida State was actually able to get him in space.
I think
what separates
him is he has the ability to cut full speed. He doesn't, and even Kevin Faulk doesn't. Kevin Faulk has more of a wiggle, I think, than Booker does, but purely cutting full speed, not having to slow down to change direction, I think is one of Booker's strengths, and I think that's a special trait that not a lot of guys have.
Well, and the guy I love going on the other end of the spectrum is Tony Hunt from
Penn
State.
Well, that's what I said. I wanted to get a Sammy Morris replacement. If they're going to draft Maroney's backup, is it Tony Hunt? I mean,
that. But the problem is he's probably looking at a round two selection, and the Patriots currently don't pick in round two. I mean, maybe they could make a move, but it might not be a position where they get him where they want to get him, because as far as I'm concerned, he's third right up there with Lynch fighting for two. I mean, he gets to the hole. He's got good moves in the open field. He runs people over. I think he goes to the right team, like a Denver Broncos, and he's going to be a superstar.
One guy I did see that I didn't know really anything about until I watched the tape, and I'm assuming he's a late guy, maybe even probably a second day guy, is the kid from Fresno State.
Yeah, Dwayne Wright.
Dwayne Wright. Now,
and Andy didn't really like him, and I'd
half a taco from being a fullback.
I didn't love him either, and matter of fact, I made a comparison with Antoine Smith, Andy. So that tells you that I didn't love him all that much. But as a late round guy, you know, a sixth round pick maybe, I have no idea.
Well,
I don't look at the board to that level. This guy, for all I know, he could be a third round pick. I don't know.
He's supposed to be a late round pick, and what you're getting there is kind of like your Sammy Morris type.
Right.
You're getting a fullback, tailback slash guy that can line up as fullback, like Andy said. And even at the combine, when I talked to him, he wasn't thrilled about playing fullback, but he said teams have already started to talk to him about it, and that he will accept any role that he's given.
I mean, that's a hard transition. I don't think anybody would be thrilled to go from getting the ball 30 times to running,
blocking
your
30
head
times.
Into a linebacker 30 times.
But he seemed to understand that was something that NFL teams were interested in him, and he was up for it. He had a terrible injury that took a couple years to recover from. So this is a guy you might get late in the draft, and maybe a year from now he's even healthier and gives you a little bit more.
And he's got the Fresno State connection, so if the injury, if you get a more reliable recommendation from Pat Hill that, you know, you feel comfortable taking from a coach that you know.
Most likely a career backup like Sammy Morris, but a guy who might stick around the league for a while because he can do some different things.
So overall here, running back, is it a position that the Patriots likely will pick come April?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, I don't know who, and I don't know what type, whether it's the backup Sammy Morris or the Booker Kevin Faulk type, but I do. I think they will be drafting a young running back to add to the squad.
Well, you heard it here first on the Patriots Draft Prospect Podcast. They will, but I have no idea when, how, if, what.
Well, I don't like to lie and lead people astray.
I'm just kidding.
One guy we should mention, though, because Booker's probably going to go in that second-round area with Hunt. If they do get that Kevin Faulk type, it could be Darius Walker from Notre Dame. He's good on the draws, on the screens, like Faulk, but he's not going to be a guy you line up and give the ball 20 times to. So
I also don't think he's as explosive as a Booker. I think
he's not,
where you say,
right.
He doesn't look all that impressive, but yeah, he got the 10 yards.
He's not as explosive as Booker, but that's why he'll probably go in that 4 or 5 round area. So if they're sitting there at that point looking for a back, you know, with the Notre Dame connection, maybe they take Walker.
And then the one guy we should talk about is sort of the wild card in the whole draft in terms of running back is Michael Bush. Mm-hmm. People may have
updated
read recently.
Information on him.
He had surgery, I want to say March 20th, 21st, in the last week, to replace the rod that was strengthening or healing in his broken leg. Is not going to be able to run for scouts prior to the draft now, which is really, I think, going to hurt his value. I think he's a guy, all he needed to do was show people he could run again, and it would have really helped his draft value. But beyond that, watching the tape on him, didn't really love him. He had one great year at Louisville, and that's it, basically, where he had the 20-something touchdowns, 1,100 yards. Before that, he had been like a 700-yard guy, kind of the
He's
the
that power
guy.
Back who wants to be 215
right.
pounds.
He weighs 240, but doesn't use the 240 as well as he should to be a power back. So
I like the way Tom just put that. Yeah, no, I agree with you.
He's an interesting prospect, and, you know, some people say now third round. I still think that might be a little high because of the injury concerns. Anything after that, I think he's probably a pretty good, you know, risk reward.
Good value in the second day.
And one other guy we liked was Kenny Irons. We do not like.
Oh, I like Kenny Irons a lot.
And we don't like Antonio Pittman from Ohio State. People think he can start in the NFL.
Antonio Pittman
has
never made a guy miss in the history of his career.
He's just one of those speed guys. Is that correct? I haven't watched his tape, but he's a fast guy, but doesn't really do a whole lot.
He's like flag football. You touch him and he goes down.
I like Kenny Irons a lot, and I was surprised with how much he caught the ball. On his tape. I thought he showed some good hands out of the backfield.
Yeah, he's a good player. One guy who really performed well at the combine to keep an eye on is Gary Russell from Minnesota. He's really shooting up draft charts.
Well, he beat Paul in the bench and the 40, so that's pretty impressive.
So,
he beat you in the 40.
He beat me in the bench.
He said to me that he was looking forward to coming to New England and getting the two-headed monster going with Maroney again. I don't see that happening.
This is a guy
he might
18,
come and live with Lawrence. And something
18
when he
touchdowns
drafted.
He had the year that he played with Maroney.
Yep. Then he was academically ineligible.
Dismissed from the
said
team.
He wasn't, you know, taking the Maurice Clarett route and going to blow the chance.
It was worse.
And blew the chance.
All right. Well, obviously, we lacked the professionalism of Brian Lowe this week, so we
and
don't
the
even.
Babbling.
We tried to come up with a review of past Belichick drafts, but none of us could really remember which ones we had already done. So rather than be repetitive, we'll skip that this week. We'll get back to that next week when Brian Lowe returns. For now, we're going to send it back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. Remember to join us every Tuesday for a new Draft Prospect Review podcast. Keep checking Patriots.com for all the latest updates. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!